I would say that one of the most popular parables of Jesus is the parable of the sower. A lot of people do not know much about Jesus today, very little, but sometimes they will know a popular miracle that he performed. They might know a statement or a phrase. They might know John 3:16. They might have heard about his birth or his resurrection or the wise men who showed up. They know some basic little things, and sometimes they know about the parable of the sower. And we're going to look at that today in our next few lessons. I want to do a series on the Let the Bible Speak program on the parable of the sower. And we're going to make applications for today in the 21st century. We're going to focus on the sower himself. We're going to focus on the seed that is sown. We're going to focus on the different grounds that represent different hearts and apply lessons today to have a better relationship with God. I'm glad that you've joined us on the Let the Bible Speak program. If you're in a place where you can get your Bible out, turn with me to Luke chapter 8. We're going to read Luke's account of the parable of the sower. Matthew has his account in Matthew 13, and Mark has his account in Mark chapter 4. We're going to read Luke chapter 8 this morning. And we're going to focus this morning on the importance of sowing the seed of God's word. That's what is needed today. There are a lot of things going on, friends, in our society, and you're troubled by some of them, the high gas prices, the high food prices. There's other issues that are going on that are troubling you, and I'm troubled by those same things. However, a more important troubling issue is that if a person has sin in their life that has not been removed properly through obedience to the gospel, and through Jesus Christ, they're not in a right relationship with God, and they're going to be lost eternally. That is a graver problem than the high gas prices and the high food prices. Those things are bad, but not being in a right relationship with God is worse. And so on the Let the Bible Speak program, I always try to talk about biblical principles to encourage us to have a right relationship with God. You may be out there listening to me and suffering from the high gas prices and the high food prices, like we all are. But I want you to think about your internal heart and soul in relationship with God. Take a moment out of all the other craziness that is going on to think about your relationship with God. And I'm going to help you with that this morning. In Luke chapter 8, and verse 1, Luke records, "It came to pass soon afterwards that he, Jesus, went about through the cities and villages, preaching and bringing the good tidings of the kingdom of God. And with him the 12, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary that was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chusas, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who ministered unto them of their substance. And when a great multitude came together, and they of every city resorted unto them, he spake by a parable. The sower went forth to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden under foot. And the birds of the heaven devoured it, and others fell on the rock. As soon as it grew, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And others fell amidst the thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. And other fell into the good ground, and grew and brought forth fruit 100-fold. And as he said these things, he cried, He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him what this parable might be. In other words, what does it mean? What's the interpretation of it? And Jesus said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing, they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are they that have heard, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. And those on the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. And that in the good ground, these are such as in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast and bring forth fruit with patience. And then Jesus goes on to teach some other things. So Jesus teaches a parable. You may have heard that word before. Like I said before, there's a lot of things that people don't know about the life of Christ. I would encourage you to read more in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and learn more about Jesus. You can do that. But some people know very little, but they may have heard that Jesus taught in parables. The word literally means to cast alongside or to cast or throw beside. Para, beside, and baleo, to throw or to cast, like the word ball. And Jesus would teach a spiritual lesson, and he would cast alongside of that a physical story, a story dealing with physical things alongside of his spiritual lessons in order to illustrate those spiritual lessons. So that's why they're called parables. Some have described it as earthly stories with heavenly meanings. Earthly physical things going on, a farmer, a sower, a planter of seeds, the physical of that, and then it is teaching or illustrating spiritual or heavenly principles. And so we want to look at how this will help us today. And this morning we're going to focus on the sower. If you'll notice, first of all, in our reading in Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, the first thing you hear in reading that is that Jesus was going about these villages and cities preaching and bringing the good tidings of the kingdom of God, and with him the 12 apostles. That ties in to the sower. Jesus was sowing the seed of the kingdom. When Jesus says in verse 11, that the seed is the word of God, that's what he's been doing back in verse 1. So the sower, first of all, is Jesus himself. He is going about preaching the word of God. And then his apostles would do that. And they would do that during his ministry on a few occasions. And they would also do that when he ascended back into heaven in what we call the Great Commission, Matthew 28 and Mark 16. And then New Testament Christians, Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, would follow their lead of the apostles and Jesus, and they would be preaching the word of God, scattered abroad, preaching the word of God, and then we're to be doing that today. Friend, you need to be a faithful Christian, and if you are, you need to be sowing the seed of the kingdom. That's not just for gospel preachers. It is for me, certainly so, but it's for all Christians. And we're going to ask some questions this morning and make some observations to encourage us to be doing what Jesus wants to be done. And so in this parable, the main components are a sower, whom we are going to focus on today, the seed, which is the word of God, and then these various grounds, four different kinds of ground that represent four different kinds of hearts that receive the word of God, and then there's going to be some sort of result from how they receive or do not receive the Word of God. So those are really the main components. And then Jesus, of course, throws in a reference to the devil in verse 12, and we cannot overlook his work that is still going on even today, and we will talk about him in a future lesson. So this morning I want to focus on the sower, and I'd like to ask four questions and make four points and then look at some qualities of a good sower. Number one, are you going out or would you have gone out? Number two, why would you have gone out? Number three, what would you have sown? And number four, where would you have gone out to sow it? So let's start with number one. Would you have gone out? Am I going out? Are you going out today? The spiritual sower must go. Look at what Jesus said in verse 5. The sower went forth to sow. He's got to go. The sower did not expect the soils to come to him. Neither did he neglect sowing and then complain about the lack of harvest. Somebody says, well, why aren't we making more conversions today? Well, part of it is we're not going to the people to convert them. The sower, the spiritual sower, must not expect the sinner to come to him, just like the physical farmer who is sowing should not expect the dirt and the ground and the soil to come to him at his house. He's got to go out in the field, and we've got to go out into the world, and we've got to go out into this community of Clarksville and other places. I think it's great that sinners and visitors come to the church building, and we invite all the time, and I try to follow up with those who visit and come. That's great, and we want you to visit and come and be a part of our service, but we can't expect that alone. We have to go forth, and that's important for us even today. That's why I'm having this radio program. That's why the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ sponsors this program, so that over the airwaves we can go out into the community. But I have to do that personally, and faithful Christians need to be doing that personally. Talk to someone at Walmart. Talk to someone at the post office. Somebody came by the church building just yesterday, and I spoke with them about coming to church services. I asked them if they go to church anywhere. They said no. And we exchanged phone numbers, and I'm trying to get them to come or to set up a Bible study. We have to be talking to people. We have to be going to where their needs are and where the lost are. And that's what's needed today. We have a lot of problems with high gas prices and high food and a bunch of other foolishness that's going on. But we need to remember a main goal, and that is to take the gospel to the lost. Invite someone to church services. Try to set up a Bible study. Try to generate a spiritual conversation. So we must go out. Number two, why do we go out? The sower went forth to sow seed. We must know the proper purpose or aim or goal of all of this. It's to preach and teach the saving gospel. That's why Jesus was going around in chapter 8 and verse 1. It's good to be nice to somebody. It's good to be hospitable. It's good to be a good example to people. It's good to be friendly when you're out in public. All of that's very nice. That's very important. But that's not sharing the gospel with people. That's a different thing, and we've got to do that. I'm all about being nice and hospitable and a good example and friendly. But we've got to tell people what is going to actually save them. It's through the preaching of the gospel that saves, 1 Corinthians 1, 20 and 21. And so we have plenty of God-given seed in our Bible. We've got to get it out of the bag. We've got plenty of seed. We've got to get it out of the bag. I have bought grass seed before and put that bag in my garage, and I thought I was going to get around in the early spring or in the fall to putting the seed out, and other things got in the way, and that bag just sat there in the garage. It didn't do any good because I didn't get the seed out of the bag. We've got to get the words of God into the hearts of men and women. The gospel saves, Romans 1:16. Obedience to God's word saves, 1 Peter 1:23. It's the implanted word that saves, James 1:21. So we've got to go forth with the purpose of not just being nice to people, but talking with them about the gospel. Number three, what would you or I have sown? What are we actually sowing today? Similar to the previous point, we've actually got to be talking about the Word of God. The sower sowed the Word of God only. They did not sow, he did not sow error, he did not sow opinions and think sows and human wisdom. He sowed the Word of God. Some people, like Jesus confronted the Pharisees in Matthew 15:13, and he said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up." He was talking about the teaching, the doctrines of the Pharisees, if you go back to around verse 8 and 9. The teaching, the doctrine of men, and all it did was grow plants that God was going to root up. We don't need to sow discord and strife, Proverbs 6:14-19. We don't need to sow to the flesh, Galatians 6:7-8. We don't need to sow human wisdom and traditions, Matthew 15:13. We need to sow the Word of God. And then the fourth question I would ask concerning this very thing is, where would you have gone out? Where do I need to be going? Where do you need to be going? Well, the sower took his bag of seed. They did not have tractors and large mechanical planters like we see today out in Montgomery County and other places, those big John Deere tractors and planters that will plant many rows of seed at one time. Often it was a man who had a bag over his shoulder, and that bag had seed in it, and he would put his hand into that bag that was slung over his shoulder, and he would grab a handful of seed and cast it out, throw it out over the ground. And where it hit, that's where it was planted. And so the sower went walking, and he's casting and broadcasting this seed, and it's hitting on different soils. And the spiritual sower today, we must present God's word to all. The gospel is for all. That's why Jesus said to his disciples to make disciples of all nations, Matthew 28:19, to preach the gospel to every creature, Matthew 16:15. The book of Acts tells us that they went everywhere preaching the word. From Jerusalem, it spread out to Judea and Samaria, and then to the uttermost part of the world. Paul went throughout the known Roman world. And so the gospel is for all. The spiritual sower must not engage in any kind of selective or prejudice sowing. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what economic or educational background you have. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. And if there's sin in a person's life, which is the violation of God's word, 1 John 3:4 and 1 John 5:17, then that person needs to be forgiven of sin and those sins washed away in baptism, Acts 22:16, 1 Peter 3:21. And we've got to get the saving message, and then that person has to obey that message. That's what they need. And anybody, regardless of their color, regardless of their background, if there is sin in their life, they need that saving gospel. And we need to present it to them, not walk by them, not ignore them, not dismiss them, not walk around them, not avoid them, but talk with them. And a simple way to do that, very simple, is just ask them, Do you go to church anywhere? Do you read your Bible? Do you pray? Do you believe in God? Just simple questions get the conversation started. So, the sower went out. He didn't wait for the soil to come to him. Number two, he went out with a specific purpose of sowing the word of God, not just being nice. Number three, he sowed the word of God and nothing else, nothing more and nothing less and nothing else. And number four, he went casting that seed over all types of ground, meaning that the word of God is for all types of people. How we answer these four questions, how we deal with these four principles, will determine whether or not we are faithful sowers today. And I'm reminded of Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 4, and then we'll move on. It's time to stop watching and start sowing. It's time to stop talking about it and getting out and actually doing it. It's time to stop thinking about it and actually doing it. Solomon deals with this principle in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, if you want to turn with me there. He's addressing people who just simply look, but they don't want to get out and do. And so Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 4, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." If you sit around all day long looking at the weather and never getting out into the field and planting, you're not going to have anything to eat down the road. So then a couple of verses later, verse 6, "In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not which shall prosper, whether this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." Get out and sow your seed. And I would encourage anyone listening today to do that. And if you need to become a Christian first, do that, and then you can go out and sow that seed and help others. Now, before we close this morning, I just want to take the remainder of our time to talk a little bit about some qualities of a good sower. If you look at other places in the Bible, you'll find some good qualities of a sower, and I want to mention those before we close this morning. Someone who's going to take the word of God and teach the lost, what is necessary? Well, let me mention a few things. First of all, one thing that comes to my mind is you've got to be faithful in the sense of committed and dedicated and trustworthy. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. The word of God was committed to Timothy, and he was to commit that to faithful men who would teach others also. The word men there is anthropos, meaning both men and women. Faithful men and women as Christians in a local church. We've got to be committed and trustworthy and dedicated. Trustworthy to fulfill our mission of sowing and trustworthy to handle the word of God accurately. In that same chapter, down in verse 15, Paul says that we are to handle aright or rightly divide or handle accurately the word of truth. Another quality that comes to my mind is that you've got to be willing to be both positive and negative. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10, Jeremiah was called to preach the word of God, and God says that you will build up and you will cast down. We build up through encouragement and edification and consolation. We tear down by taking the word of God and tearing down falsehoods and lies and errors and sin and evil and wickedness and unrighteousness. So we've got to build up, we've got to encourage, we've got to tear down anything that is wrong, we've got to build up anything that is right. Paul says to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, 2, that preaching is reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering. There's going to be reproving and rebuking, which is negative. There's going to be exhortation and long-suffering, which is positive. So we've got to be willing to preach all of the Word of God and those things that are both positive and negative. Some people aren't willing to do that. They really like the positive stuff. They're not good with the negative stuff. We've got to do both. A third thing that comes to my mind is that we've got to be someone who's courageous and bold. We cannot be fearful. We cannot be fearful. The Lord told Paul when he was in Corinth in Acts 18, verses 9 and 10, that he would be with him. There are many people in that city that need to hear the word of God and be converted, and that the Lord would be with him. We don't need a spirit of fearfulness. 2 Timothy 1:7, we need to be bold and courageous. Paul preached the word with all boldness, Ephesians chapter 6. And Peter and John in Acts chapter 4 and 5 were known for their boldness. They beheld the boldness of those men. So we've got to be like that. There are many voices screaming today, and sometimes literally in your face, and we cannot back down from that. We have the truth of the Word of God. And it's not just simply in the pulpit where we need to be bold, but when we have conversations with people, we don't need to be bowled over. We need to be bold, but not bowled over, run over, steamrolled. And sometimes people will yell, they'll scream, they'll get in your face. In the recent overturning of Roe v. Wade by the Supreme Court in the last couple of weeks, people have been yelling and screaming their views about pro-abortion. And I saw a news clip one time where a man literally was in the face of the reporter yelling, "I love to kill babies." And why in the world an individual would have a heart like that, I have no idea. But they are screaming about it, yelling about it. Some people turn to violence, looting, vandalism, violence in the streets, starting fires, assaulting people, in some cases shooting people, and we cannot be fearful of these things. We need to go forth in love. We need to speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4, verse 15. We need to go forth with patience, Galatians 6 and verse 9. When we're sowing, we will reap if we faint not. We have to have patience. Not everybody is going to want to talk with us. When you ask those questions, do you go to church anywhere? Do you read your Bible? Do you pray? Do you believe in God? And so forth. Not everybody's going to want to answer that, but some will. And I've run into individuals like that recently who have a good heart and that they don't mind talking about those kinds of things. Be patient. You'll find that person that you can talk to about the gospel. And I will tell you that my experience has been recently that individuals that have been born in the last 20 years or the last 30 years, born from 1990 to the present, roughly, many of them, especially those that have been born around the year 2000. And the individual that I was talking to yesterday was born around 2001. Many, many of these young people have not gone to church anywhere, have not been raised on the Bible or prayer or God or church or anything. And in some ways, that's bad. They just do not have a religious grounding. But in some ways, it's actually very good. They don't have a lot of unauthorized religious baggage that they have to unload and unlearn. And they can be taught the truth. We need to go forth with humility. We are simply workers of God. Well, I appreciate your time and attention this morning. I hope that this has helped. Let's go out and sow the seed of God's kingdom. And if we can help you to become a Christian, please contact us. Have a good day.